so glad to be here because we didn't know if we would be here this morning, even a day or yesterday. We weren't sure. Walked up and down the road out here last night looking at the water and trying to figure out, is it rising? Is it falling? Looking at the website, where's the river at today? All my life I've heard the expression, Lord willing, if the creek don't rise. And that is so true, isn't it? We will be here tonight worshiping God again at 5:30 if the creek doesn't rise. And if the Lord wills it. But I'm so glad. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy that you can be here. There are members of our congregation who have water in their homes. And that is a very challenging and difficult thing. And we're going to have lots of opportunities in the coming days to help them. There are members who are, they don't know if there's water in their house or not right now. They don't know. And it's very close. Very close. It might be. We pray, we hope that the damage will be limited, but we don't know how bad it's going to be. But we are happy to be here, to be worshiping God, and to have a God to worship who cares for us and watches out for us. There are many Christians up and down the coast of Texas and many other friends and neighbors that we have who are struggling and dealing with big challenges. I don't know if you've ever gone into somebody's home that's been flooded. It is a discouraging thing to see, and yet we'll deal the best we can, help where we can. We can't all fill bags and handle shovels. We're not all there physically, but we can each one help in the way that we can, and we'll do the best that we can. And we pray. Certainly, we can all pray. We pray for the deliverance of our brethren and our friends and neighbors. Had a regular service. We had a kind of an appended service last week. But the service before that, I talked about Mark 16. I'm going to talk about that maybe tonight again. But this morning, I thought I'd talk about something pertinent to the moment. And I invite you to read along with me in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul, in writing his great epistle of joy, he writes to the Philippian brethren. He writes from prison. He's wearing a chain. And he writes to them and he says, I am happy. I rejoice. And specifically, I want to look at the verses 10 through 13, where Paul talks about whatever his circumstances. Philippians chapter 4. Read the passage with me to begin with. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your faith for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity show it. I am not saying this, he says. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He says, I rejoice that you thought of me. I rejoice at your gift, but I want you to know I rejoice anyway. I rejoice in whatever circumstances. I'm content. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strengthens me. One translation says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I find that to be a very encouraging passage, along with most of Philippians 4. Philippians 1, 2, 3, and 4. Very encouraging book. Paul writes from prison. He writes in challenging and difficult circumstances, and yet he writes and he says, I rejoice, and I encourage you to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's the epistle of joy. And I thought that I would share a few thoughts about that from this particular section of verses this morning in application to our current situation. I want you to think about the fact that Paul has this approach to life as a Christian. And obviously he's encouraging all of us, the Philippian brethren and us as well, he's encouraging all of us to take the same approach to life. And one thing you can say about Paul is that he rejoiced and he was content. And I don't think he's saying that just for good form. I think that it genuinely represents his frame of mind. He says, I rejoice greatly. I can just kind of feel his exuberance. In the moment that the fellow arrived bearing the gift and he hears the greeting from the Philippian brethren and he sees the gift, and you can just imagine how happy Paul was. Not that he was sad before. Not that, as he says, not that I was desperate or that I was depressed. That's not the point. But just seeing that gift and knowing that the Philippian brethren thought of him and had gone to this effort to collect these funds, send it all the way from Philippi to Rome. And he receives it, and it just made his day, or maybe his week, or, you know, he says, I rejoice greatly. But that was not an isolated occurrence for Paul. Paul rejoiced a lot. The life of a Christian ought to be a life of joy, of rejoicing. I rejoice greatly. And he says, I have learned to be content. Now, here's a fellow who goes from place to place, and he gets beaten up, and he gets thrown in jail, and he gets run out of town, and he gets whipped, and he gets falsely accused of things, and he gets abused, and he just goes to the other town, and he repeats the process, you know, and he lives his life that way, and sometimes he has some food, sometimes he doesn't have food, and he says, I've learned to be content. And to be content is... doesn't mean that you have everything that you need. Doesn't mean everything is going right. Means you're okay with it. I've learned, and it is a process of learning, isn't it? It's something that just doesn't come naturally. When a child doesn't have something that he wants or he perceives that he needs, or if he's truly in duress, a child is not content. But as Christians, we learn to have an approach to life where we rise above the circumstance and we see things that maybe other people don't see, and we appreciate things that maybe other people don't appreciate, and it gives an evenness to our life, a contentment to our life, whatever the circumstances. Paul has that. Even though he had trouble. Now, Paul's not saying, hey, you didn't need to send this money. I have plenty. I don't need it. Take it back. That's not the circumstance. Paul had need. Paul says, you know, I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to be hungry. I know what it is to be in want. And on many occasions, I'm sure in his life, that's exactly where he was at. See, the life of a Christian is not one where God suddenly opens all the doors and the lights all turn green and your bank account suddenly becomes flush with money, and the rain never falls and the sun always shines. That's not the life of a Christian. That's not the life of anybody in this world. And it's not the life of a Christian. I believe in God's providence, and I believe in God's protection, and I believe that God takes care of us, but that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes have need or want or hunger. And as long as we're in this life, that's exactly the way it's going to be. It was for Paul the case. It will be so for us. And right now, we've got some wants, and we've got some needs. Well, Paul says, I know what that's like. I know what it is to be hungry. And of a truth, I don't think there's probably anybody here, although maybe some of you who are older may have some memories from some really hard days in the life of this country. But most of us, we just don't really know what it's like to be hungry. But Paul did. To be truly hungry. And Paul says, look, sometimes I'm in need. Sometimes I have hunger. But I'm content. In any and every situation. That's difficult sometimes for us to wrap our heads around. Maybe part of the problem is that so much of our life, we have it so good that we haven't had enough practice in dealing with hardship. But Paul had plenty of practice. And he says, I've learned. Maybe the first few times it was especially challenging for Paul, but he says, I've learned. I've learned in any and every situation. Well, how could you possibly do that? In any and every situation. How, Paul? Well, part of it was that he always saw what was good. And, you know, we preach this and we say this, you know, count your blessings, look at what's good, look at the things that are okay. It becomes especially challenging when you got a couple of feet of water in your house to see the good. But I think we're up for it, to see the good, because there's so much good to see. Paul saw the good. Anybody could have dwelt on his problems. Paul could have. But Paul didn't. I rejoice. I rejoice in the Lord. For instance, he says, you know, it made me so happy that you cared about me enough to send this. And I got to say, it is heartening. It is consoling. And it is something to rejoice in. The phone calls that I've received, people asking about my welfare, from family, from friends, from brothers and sisters in Christ, from total strangers in the church, people in other states, people I've never heard of. You get my email address or my phone number and they call and say, what do you need? Is there a problem? Can we help you? I rejoice in that, don't you? You renewed your concern for me. You know, before you just didn't really have a chance. Didn't have an opportunity. Now you do. And here you've helped me out. You've sent these funds. And I'm so happy that you have done that. He says, I know also what it is to have food and to have plenty. And I've had that too. And I'm grateful for that. It's not all loss. It's not all heartache. Good times. And good times are good. And I count those as well. I count them. They matter to me. I thank God for you and for his support. And there's so much good to be thankful for. To have family and friends, to have home. To have a nation that cares about us. To know the Lord is there for us. To be well fed and to live in plenty. Is anybody here afraid they're going to starve? Anybody? If thought hasn't even entered my mind. If anything, I've gained weight over the last week for overcompensating maybe for some of the worry by eating. You know, in the last week, we've lost a couple of dozen people in Texas. They don't know what the final count's going to be. But at the same time that storm was hitting here, there's this monsoon storm floods that hit India, killed over 1,200 people. And I don't say that because, you know, you need, you know, say, well, it wasn't that bad and it could have been worse. And that's not really my point. That's a little, that, you know, it's bad. It's bad right here. And there are people who are suffering. But we have so much. We can come back. We can rebuild. There's no doubt in my mind that that's going to happen. And of course, we have God. Because when he says, I rejoice greatly, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord. In the Lord I rejoice greatly. And that's a constant that's not ever going to go away. You know, life, we say, is like a roller coaster. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. But there is a constant in our life. As Christians, we have God in our life. And we can pray to him and we can cast our cares upon him, as he says earlier in Philippians 4, be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, let your needs be made known to God. And the peace of God will guard your heart. God is always there. I think about Job. And Job lost everything in terms of this world. Family, fortune, his friends, his wife, his health. He lost everything. And yet he says this, I rejoice. Rejoice in unsparing pain that I have not denied the Holy One. To have God in your life is a constant source of reassurance, of hope and encouragement. Because of a truth, as Job says, we bring nothing into this world. We leave with nothing. Everything that has been lost in the past week will be lost eventually anyway. But God, when you have God in your life, that you can never lose unless you throw him away. I can do all things through him who gives me strength, who strengthens me. I can do all things. This is Paul's secret to contentment. This is his constant, whether he's hungry, whether he's in want or in need, he can get through it because God is there in his life and he rejoices. And that, my friends, is the secret that's not a secret. So I thank God. And I encourage you to do the same. I thank God for what's been saved. Much has been lost, but so much more has been saved. Lives and property and livelihood has been saved. I rejoice. You know, I rejoice at the goodness that we've seen in people. In the church, in our community. It is so heartening to see people reaching out to one another and helping each other. And it's an aspect of encouragement that would not be obvious or apparent but for this disaster. You know, our news people, they so often dwell upon the negative. I suppose maybe it's for ratings, it's what people want to see. I don't know why they do, but they so often do. But it's pretty amazing when what people are doing is so good and so generous and so kind that they cannot but talk about it. In our community and among us, we have so much to be thankful for. The goodness in people. I rejoice in that. I rejoice at the work that I have to do. I got to do. There's some work that you have to do, and we have an opportunity to do it. And some of that work's not going to be very easy. Some of it's going to be pretty challenging. And as I say, you know, not everybody can do everything. But what we have to do is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to be something more, to reach out, to make a connection. It's really pretty wonderful, really. And I rejoice and I thank God for the strength that God gives me. You know, I stand before you by the strength and will of God, and here we are by the strength of God. And I know there are a lot of people have a lot harder than I do, and I pray that God's strength will be with them as well. But as a Christian, we can depend upon, rely upon, and know that that strength is going to be there. And you look at a task and it seems monumental, but you take it a step at a time and God will walk you through it. God will be there, come what may. And last of all, and most importantly of all, the assurance of God's grace. I don't know what life has in store. I don't know whether, you know, maybe we'll get another hurricane. Maybe it'll flood even worse. Who knows? I don't. But I know this. This is not in doubt. As I appeal to and I seek the grace of God, it is provided. God forgives. God will take me. And in heaven, there's a river that that runs through it. Although I think it's more of a metaphor than anything else. But it doesn't ever flood. On either side, the tree of life, which are for the healing. A home in heaven that is secure, for which no insurance is required, because it's insured by the promise of God. And that you can never lose. You can throw it away, but you can't lose it. And if you want that kind of assurance, if you want that kind of peace that can give you contentment and make you rejoice in any and every circumstance, come what may, you can have it as we have it in Jesus Christ. If you will declare your faith in Jesus, if you will turn away from sin in your heart, and if you'll let me put you down in some water. I know we've been trying to avoid the water, but there may be some water you need this morning. And put you down in some water. And you make an appeal to God to take your sins away, and he absolutely will. If you want to do that, come forward and say you will as we stand and sing.